You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Hi everyone, and welcome back. We've just started a new preaching series in the Psalms, and last week we opened up looking at Psalm 1, and we looked at the wonderful themes that it introduced to us, these ways of following in life, the ways of the righteous and the ways of the wicked. And we also looked at how Psalm 1 in many ways is an introduction, if you like, a gatekeeper to the whole book of the Psalms. It sets us up and tells us all that is to come. And this week we move on to Psalm 2. So if you've got your Bibles with you, turn there to the book of Psalms, find the second Psalm, and we're going to begin there. And let me tell you that as I've been working towards this sermon this week, I've really wrestled with Psalm 2. And I don't mean a polite reading or two. I mean, as I read it over and over, as I prayed and asked God, seeking for His word to us, as I looked at it more and more, and as I read commentaries around it, I really wrestled with it. Asking God, seeking God for a fresh word for us today at Jubilee. It's been hard and frustrating, messy and exhausting, but also insightful. As I continued to wrestle, continued to ask God, continued to seek Him for a fresh word to Jubilee today, I emerged on the other side of that wrestling match, filled up, strengthened and encouraged. My spiritual muscles were hard at work and they came out stronger. My prayer life was tested and strengthened. My faith has been asked questions of it, and yet by the grace of God found to be true. And in some ways, this past week of wrestling with God, wrestling with Psalm 2, and wrestling with the Word, seeking Him for a word for us today, it's like a microcosm of what's going on in the bigger world around us. And I wonder how many of us have been feeling a bit like this through lockdown. It's been an incredibly hard time, hasn't it? It's been frustrating, messy at times, and exhausting. We've been wrestling with it. Perhaps if you're anything like me, you'd be asking God, where are you? Lord Jesus, what is going on? It has felt at times like there's been so many plates spinning in the air all at the same time on so many different fronts. And perhaps if you're anything like me again, and you've wanted through all of this is to hear God's word, Him to speak to you afresh today into our situation. Even more, perhaps your vision, your focus, and your line of sight has narrowed in this time. Have you found yourself focusing more on restrictions and lockdown measures and personal freedoms being limited, guidance, rules and law? Or perhaps your business overnight just had to close for months and it had nothing to do with you, it wasn't your fault, and yet the consequences of it all were sitting squarely with you. Maybe it's been just the stress through that national lockdown of having all the family at home, of suddenly taking the reins when it comes to your kids' education, whilst also perhaps holding down a job. And you never asked for that. Wasn't your fault. Wasn't your choice. And yet the consequences of it have sat squarely with you. Maybe it's been the disruption of church and how church life has just changed dramatically. Sunday services where we would meet in person just stopped in a moment. Our growth groups changed. Fellowship was disrupted in some ways. It's been very, very hard. I've spoken to many of you and I know the feelings of just disruption, frustration. It's not been your choice. It's not your fault. And yet the consequences of it sit squarely with you and with me. Perhaps it's a sense of loss relationally. When our normal rhythms of life are disrupted like this, and the patterns that we've relied on to maintain our relationships are stripped away, and we can feel distant and isolated, and our relationships can begin to feel thin in some ways. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't your choice. And yet the consequences sit squarely with you and with me. And in all of this, with our eyes and our hearts, our tears, our frustrations, when they're focused on these things, it's pretty normal, it's pretty natural, isn't it, to ask these kind of big questions. God, where are you? God, why? And if we dare to be brutally honest with one another, so perhaps some of you, like me, have asked the question behind that question. God, are you good all the time? Do you know what's going on in my life, and do you care? And maybe if there's one question that can hold all of those questions together, God, are you in control? God, are you in charge? If you have asked any of those questions over this time, then you're in good company. When life gets disrupted like it has been, and to the extent it has been over the last 6 months, what happens is that much of the scaffolding that we use to get through life gets stripped away from us, and it begs such questions. So what does Psalm 2 have to say to us in this moment? Can Psalm 2 help us with some of those big questions and frustrations and tears? Let's have a look. I'm going to read Psalm 2 for you from the New International Version. So here we go, Psalm 2, starting in verse 1. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, and the Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron, and you will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to destruction, and his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. You see, Psalm 2 is known as a royal psalm, and particularly as a coronation psalm. From the time of David, it's been suggested that this psalm would be used in the coronation ceremony and read out, or perhaps more accurately, prayed over the new king as he was crowned. That's its historical setting, and from what we can rely on, that was how it was used among the nation of Israel from the time of David onwards through the Davidic covenant. And yet when you read closer, one can begin to see so much more coming through here. Indeed, many of the early church fathers and the reformers, the great reformers, saw this also as a messianic psalm, a psalm about the Messiah, and maybe more accurately, a prophecy about Jesus Christ. It's one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament, and all of the New Testament authors used it to refer to Jesus Christ. And finally, in combination with Psalm 1, it acts as an introduction to the whole book of Psalms. As we saw last week, Psalm 1 sets out these two paths, the way or the path of the righteous and the path of the wicked. And in many ways, it speaks to individuals and also back in its historical context to the nation of Israel. Psalm 2, however, speaks more of the cosmic stage. It speaks to what theologians call God's sovereignty, which is his authority and the scope of his dominion. And it's particularly here that Psalm 2 speaks to us today. The first three verses from this former stanza in the poem, which starts with a question, it asks why. It asks, why do the nations and the peoples conspire and plot? Why do the kings and rulers band together and rise up against? In its historical setting, it speaks of the enemies of Israel plotting against the kings that followed in the line of David. It also speaks of to humankind and its rebellion to the rule and dominion and authority of God. And yet today, to us here at Jubilee, to anyone listening, I wonder, does it resonate a bit, these first three verses, with some of the thoughts in our hearts over this past 6 months? If we're not careful, our hearts can quickly move to rise up, to plotting and to standing against. I'm not sure whether you've been conspiring, but there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there at the moment. It's the power of sin, and it's an ever-present battle. You see, as I wrestled through this week in Psalm 2, in my questions, in my frustrations, in my hurts, and in my disruption, I discovered in my own heart a rising up, a thought that had begun to creep in, which had perhaps moved me from the very real and legitimate question of, God, are you there? To something more snake-like, reminiscent of the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? Will God really come through? Is God really all-powerful and all-good? And as the Psalms show us here, if we move along that pathway, its end results in a distortion of faith that changes the reality. It changes such that the ways of God, that which is designed to bring blessing and a fruitfulness to us, begin to feel, and we begin to view them and see them as chains and shackles. The freedom that's found in trusting God, believing in his all-encompassing dominion and rule, can begin to feel like chains of bondage and a prison if we listen to that voice. And you see, if you're chained and if you're in bondage, the natural response is to rise up in our own efforts and to try and break free. In our hurts and our frustrations and our tears and disruptions. And I've felt that in this season, and I know many of you have. And in all of those emotions, all of those responses, Psalm 2 speaks powerfully to us today, warning us to pull back from the temptations of rising up, of plotting and conspiring, but rather for us to see the big picture as it really is, not distorted by our fears or pride or sin, but seen in the true light of God's presence and from his perspective. You see, God's answer to ancient Israel at the time that the psalm was written and also to us today is found in verses 4 to 6, the next stanza of the poem. Verse 4 starts, "The one enthroned in heaven laughs, and the Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, 'I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain.'" To the question of rising up, conspiring, and standing against, the Lord laughs. This stanza is, if we're honest, it's hard to read, isn't it? Laughs, scoffs, rebukes, and terrifies them with his wrath. It's not easy reading, and yet we mustn't be put off, but rather try and read it and understand it the right way. See, what we see here is a rising up of the clay against the potter, the ant to the lion. It's the hyena charging Mufasa, as in The Lion King, when Ed, the hyena, speaks in such bold terms. Mufasa laughs. It's the created rising up against the Creator, and from God's perspective, it's all in vain. And what should we draw from this? What should we draw from this picture of those rulers and kings and peoples and nations rising up, maybe even in our own hearts over these last 6 months, are rising up? What we should draw from verses 4-6 here is that God is in charge, that God is all powerful and all good. God has installed his king in Zion, and his reign is eternal. This is no longer, we're no longer talking about the historical line in terms of Solomon or the kings that came after that, which so often as we continue to read those stories in the Old Testament, they failed in their kingly duties. No, the king installed in Zion is, of course, in the line of David, but also David's Lord. It is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As God decrees in verses 7-9, says this, I will proclaim the Lord's decree. In essence, as we read through the psalm, this is now the king decreeing what he's heard from the Lord. But it says here, he said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron, and you will dash them to pieces like pottery. This reminds us, doesn't it, of Jesus' baptism when God declares from the heavens, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is our king who is installed in the dwelling place of God and with his people. Verse 8 speaks of the realm of his dominion. All the nations and to the ends of the earth, Jesus Christ is the king installed. And Isaiah 9 puts it this way. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7 carries on. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is our King, the one with all dominion, all authority, and all peace. Justice and righteousness will be forever. There will be no end to his reign. He is also reigning now. Praise be to his name. Verse 9 speaks to his power and is quoted three times in the book of Revelations, once with reference to the victorious Christian and twice to our Lord. It speaks to his second coming, the kingdom come in its fullness, and the judgment and power of the Lord Jesus being fully revealed. This is Jesus ruling and reigning today with a plan and a purpose for history that we are called into and a part of. Take heart, be encouraged and strengthened in the midst of the pandemic and all that's going on. Jesus Christ is on the throne, and his rule, his dominion, and his authority are total. So what now? Verse 10 to 12 form the last stanza and speak to us of what now, what next, and what must I do? Let me read it for you. Verse 10, therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to destruction, and his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Be wise, serve the Lord, celebrate his rule, and kiss the son. One of the many challenges of this pandemic has been the difficulty and complexity of planning and looking into the future. In years gone by, we would have planned out our roadmap towards Christmas, what events we were planning, alpha courses and who was cooking dinner, growth groups and where to meet, preaching rotas and kids ministries. And in this pandemic time, planning has been at best severely disrupted, and at worst, with some hindsight, a waste of time. Our tactics of how we are going to move forward towards our vision of 600 world-changing disciples in order to glorify God and make Him known to the world have been, to a large degree, put in the bin. Sunday services that meet in person closed overnight. Growth groups not allowed to meet anymore in person. Welcome lunches, alpha dinners, etc., etc. Our normal tactics on the road towards the vision God's given us just seem to disappear like mist in the night. And what has happened is that for some of us, we went into our task-oriented default to try and fix it and find solutions. Others of us began to rise up against the restrictions, and our focus, the focus of our attention was on what was taken away. Others were forced into being isolated and left lonely and felt adrift. And for others, there was a sense of overwhelming disruption, which meant a sense of disconnect from friends and family and the church. And so what do we do when our normal tactics are taken away? What do we do when we have a tendency to focus on the loss, the restrictions and the lockdown? And what do we do when we truly and rightly feel isolated and disconnected? It's been really, really hard, hasn't it? See, Psalm 2 speaks to us in this moment. Be wise, serve the Lord, celebrate His rule, and kiss the Son. In all the disruption, and with the tendency for our eyes to be drawn to the problems and the frustrations and the upsets, have we stopped and asked, what are the possibilities? What are the opportunities? Psalm 2 says to be wise. Have we stopped and asked the Lord, what is He doing in this season? I heard a preacher say that this week he's training all his people and his church to come back stronger. And I really resonated. I love that phrase, come back stronger. We want to do that, don't we? Come back stronger. See, I do not believe that God has caused this virus to happen, but I do believe that He can take every season of life and use that season to help us to grow. Could it be that God is shining a light into each one of our lives and into the church and saying a new season is coming, a new way of doing things, and also, perhaps more painfully for each one of us, some things need to change? It's possible, but through this time, you and I have begun to see how certain things in our lives and in the church, which were designed to be the scaffolding to help strengthen us as we built our lives, the house of our lives, if you like, that, those things that were meant to be scaffolding in the building process, have in fact morphed into becoming load-bearing lintels in the building. See, Psalm 2 says, kiss the Son and celebrate His rule. In this time when planning is difficult, we can still position ourselves to kiss the Son and celebrate His rule, to embrace Him, hunger after His presence, and deepen our relationship with Him. You see, concerning our spiritual lives and compared to what we used to have, the pandemic has brought about something akin, something like the monastic life for but a season. Is God calling us back to the heart of worship, to be in His presence, to glorify God and worship Jesus, to allow the Holy Spirit to flow afresh in our lives, our hearts and our minds, so that we delight in Him? I believe He is inviting you and me back into a thick, fully rounded relationship with Him. And I pray, accept His invitation today. Let the Holy Spirit draw you back into that first love and position yourself in this time for openness to Jesus, openness to the Holy Spirit, and an openness to let Him create in you a delight for Jesus, a delight for the kingdom, and a delight for all that is to come in this next season. See, Psalm 2 also encourages us to be wise and serve the Lord. the way things used to be may be gone forever. Perhaps some parts of them need to change and need to be gone. Perhaps some of us have been clinging on with all of our strength, hoping to hold on until this all ends and we can get back to normal. But the danger in that approach is that we can miss the new thing that the Lord may be speaking to us. Is this the day of renewal and a moment of preparation? This moment we're in now has been described as something like the arrivals terminal at an airport. You have arrived, but you haven't gone out, if you like, into the promised land. You've taken that 28 hours travel from the UK all the way to Australia, but you haven't cleared customs or collected your baggage yet. You're not out into the promised land yet. And in this COVID pandemic, when we cannot do what we want to do, what we can do is prepare. Prepare for renewal. See, we call this year the year of all things new. Can we still believe it? Can we use this arrivals terminal moment to prepare our hearts, prepare our lives, and prepare for renewal? Can we call out to God with all of our hearts crying for renewal? I believe we can. And I want to encourage all of us to do that. We don't need, you see, it's so important, we don't need a slight improvement from where we are today. We need a renewed life. We need a renewed relationship with Jesus. And we need a renewed church in Farnham, in Jubilee Church, and in the UK and around the world. Be wise, serve the Lord, celebrate His rule, and kiss the Son. Position yourselves for renewal and position yourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Prepare for the season that is coming. Prepare for renewal. Cry out to God to bring this pandemic to an end and cry out to God to birth something new in your life, new in your relationship with Jesus, and new in our church here at Jubilee. You see, Psalm 2 finishes with this: blessed are all those that take refuge in Him. I read this week a quote that said, there's no refuge from Him, only refuge in Him. Be blessed. Take refuge in Him. Position yourself and prepare for renewal today. Bless you and have a wonderful week.